Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about testifying to God's grace. I went through a time in my life where God showed me you need to develop understanding. He said, though it costs you everything, though it costs you all you have, gain understanding. And that was actually the start of a book that I have called The Eighth Day. And I went through this process of about 2 years, I would say, 2 years where I was working to understand. And it did cost me. I paid a price to develop this understanding. You know, Jesus says if people would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and then turn, and then I would heal them. There's this success and prosperity and all these types of things that we seek after come after we develop this understanding and we convert it or turn it into the right actions of knowing what to do in these types of things. But we're going to take a look in Acts chapter 20 here about how the Apostle Paul talks about two things. He says, I was given the task of testifying to God's grace. We're going to talk about what that means. And then it says later, he says, now that I know, he says, I've been going about preaching the kingdom. He says, now I know I've been going about preaching the kingdom, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, that was his main message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is near. That was his main message. That was the main thing he was saying everywhere he went. He was preaching the message of the kingdom. So we're going to looking at these two ideas, the idea of grace and the message of the kingdom and testifying to those things. But let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. If you're new to us here, this is the place to start. Our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's more valuable than money that I could pass on to my children, hopefully grandchildren one day, would be wisdom. The book of Proverbs says that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones and all of these things. So I made it my goal to accumulate and to pass on lessons for every area of life, both spiritually, mindset, emotions, but also practical areas like finances and health and purpose and training for every area. And out of everything we do, the first thing I would want to get established is this two-part process of praying about a two-minute prayer every day. The prayer is mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, and doing the other half of prayer that goes along with that, which is taking the time to listen, to get still, and we plan our day with God, and then we go about our day executing, doing the things that we know to do, trusting that God is with us, but then pairing that with communion. Now, in Corinthians, it says it's good to examine ourselves before we take communion. So taking a few minutes to pray, do this other half of prayer, doing some self-examination, getting in tune with God, planning our day with God, and then taking communion, if you'll do those things consistently, I believe it will truly change the trajectory of your life. It'll keep you tuned into God. It'll keep you meditating on his grace, on his steadfast love for you. And I believe it will help your days go a lot better. I found just for me personally, we talked about it on our partner Zoom call just recently. On the days where I didn't do this, I've noticed my days did not go as well. On the days where I didn't do this process of just the prayer, the other half of prayer, taking communion, my days didn't go the same. I just noticed my emotions were not the same. Things didn't go as well. So I've learned in my own life the value of just implementing this very simple process. It takes just a few minutes to do every day. If you'll get in this rhythm of listening to the videos or watching the videos, they're about 20 minutes each day. I believe it'll make a big difference for you. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening and all of their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom. We're talking about your kingdom today, Father. The kingdom of your dear son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace, as we're talking about today, and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain, through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's take just a second to go through the other half of prayer. So let's start with, let's gain some encouragement. What were your wins over the last 24 hours, over the last day? What are the things that you got done, the things that you executed, the things that went well, the things that you're thankful for, ways you saw God showing up? If you need something to track this with, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com. On the free tools and resources page, we've got some additional training videos that go with this process, along with a tracker that you can use to go through this other half of prayer as well. Next question. How are your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours? And remember, it's like a light switch. Either God's supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him were flowing or they were not. So it's either yes or no. But sometimes as we go throughout the day, it's on and it's flowing, but then something distracts us. Something gets us off track and we lose it for a little bit. And it's working to get better at sustaining that throughout the day. And how do we do that? Keeping your eyes fixed on him, on his steadfast, unfailing love for you. Getting more present in your day. Often we get pulled off track because we're dwelling on the past or worrying about the future. Getting more present in your day as you go throughout your day. And doing the things you know to do, trusting that God's with you. And that if something unexpected comes up in the day, he's still with you. You didn't catch him by surprise. He was ready for it. And what he put in you is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at you in a day. And so what you can be starting to pay more attention to is, what are these things that are consistently pulling me out of that peace and joy and confidence in God? And you can pray a simple prayer that just says, God, thank you for your grace, that you are more than enough, that what you put in me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me in a day. Help me to tap into that. Help me see that flowing at a greater level in my life. And I believe you'll see a change. You just pray that very simple prayer. Next question. What do you know to do over the next day, next 24 hours? What do you know to do? What are the things that you know to do? It might be administrative things, errands you need to run, little things you need to do. But then also in the bigger picture of life, what's one thing you could do today that you know you could do, that you know you've been prompted to do, that would move your life forward? What's God prompting you and stirring you to do on the inside? And our final question, God, what's the most important thing that you're trying to teach me, you're trying to show me over the last day? And just taking a second, if you need to pause the video, you can. Taking a second to get still and to listen just for 1 to 2 minutes. The other night, we were talking about just practicing God's presence for 50 seconds, 50 seconds. Just get still and listen for a second. He's always trying to teach us. He's always trying to train us. His voice is trying to lead us to a good place. If we'll get still and we'll listen and we'll connect with him. But let's take a look at this. We're going to start in Acts chapter 20. Starting in verse 22. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task, what's the task? The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Testifying, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That was the Apostle Paul's task. That was his assignment. He says, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. So he had this task of testifying to God's grace. And what did it cause him to do? To preach the kingdom. This was Jesus's main message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So he says, my task was testifying to the gospel of God's grace, and it caused him to preach the kingdom. Now I'm going to take a look. I've got my book, The Eighth Date. And that whole book, The Eighth Date, started with Proverbs chapter 4. There's a verse in there that says, though it cost you all, though it cost you everything, gain understanding. Though it cost you all, though it cost you everything, gain understanding. I went through about 2 to 2.5 years of just some major struggle as I was working to understand. And finally, I got it. Finally, I understood what God was trying to show me. And actually, I'm going to tell a little story about the day that I understood. So the day I finally understood, this is coming from the Eighth Day book. I'm reading from the book here. It says, then in August of 2019, God showed me that I finally understood his message for me. This happened while reading a bedtime story with my oldest daughter, Anya. The short story was about Helen Keller, who could not see or hear. Her teacher was trying to find a way to communicate with her. Now notice, I'm looking back now. Jesus said, if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and then understand. Harder for her to understand because she couldn't see with her eyes or hear with her ears, but she still could get to a place where she could understand. Her teacher was trying to find a way to communicate with her, but nothing was working. Then one day, her teacher ran water over Helen's hand while at the same time writing the word water on her hand. So she was writing the word water on her hand, and then she was pouring water over her hand at the same time. Helen finally responded and understood what water was. Her teacher began running around yelling, she understands, she understands. And within a few days, Helen knew hundreds of words. So once she got it, once she understood, then she learned hundreds of words within just a few days. As I was reading this story, I got the message from God that I finally understood. And what was it that I needed to understand? It was grace and the kingdom of heaven. Colossians 1:6 says the gospel bears fruit ever since the day you understood God's grace. Ever since you understood it, you understood God's grace. Jesus's main message in the gospels was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. By grace, God has given us the opportunity to repent and receive Jesus. When we receive him, Colossians 1:13 says that God has delivered us, has, past tense, delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's part of what we pray in our prayer challenge every day. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, we're transferred into the kingdom of God. We were in darkness, but God has transferred us into his kingdom. Notice that this is expressed in the past tense. It's already happened. The kingdom of God, also known as the kingdom of heaven, is an invisible kingdom that is present here on the earth. In Luke 17, verses 20 through 21, Jesus says that the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's in you or within you. Jesus has already set up his spiritual kingdom here in our hearts. And one day he will come to set up his physical kingdom. But until that day, we have a role to play in partnering with him to expand his kingdom. Once we receive God's grace, we're brought immediately into the kingdom of God. And then an amazing thing happens. God is doing continually good for us all the time, and he wants to make us great. He never stops, even when we miss it. In fact, I would tell you, the times that we miss it are some of the greatest opportunities to take it to the next level. Because if we'll repent and we'll turn around, it's like it accelerates us to an even higher level often. Think about the woman who loses the gold coin or the lost sheep. If we get off track, Jesus is working. God is working to restore us and take us back and move us to an even higher level. God is giving us the grace of bringing us into his kingdom. And from that point on, he never stops working. for our good. His grace also supplies us with everything we need. And this is the good news of grace. The Apostle Paul says, my task is testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The gospel, the good news of God's grace. So grace changes our hearts. This is still reading from the book here. One of the amazing things about grace is that it changes our hearts. God is doing continually good for us, even when we don't deserve it. This causes our hearts to change and soften, making us want to do the same for others, just like God has done for us. It's grace that changes our hearts, making us want to embrace the ways of God's kingdom. Grace has the ability to cause us to want to do the right thing. Grace causes us to want to repent, to put off our old ways, and to live in a new way that honors God. Now we talk about cherishing understanding. One of the most powerful revelations we could ever receive is that God is doing continually good for us, no matter what. He cherishes us as the apple of his eye. In fact, in Proverbs 4:7, after it tells us, though it cost you everything, gain understanding, it says this next, cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. In scripture, the words understanding and cherish are often found together. We must develop the understanding that God cherishes us and learn to do the same for others. I think cherish means to do two things. Cherish means keeping people from pain on one side and moving people to the desires of their heart on the other side. God is looking ahead in our lives and working to keep us from pain. He's also constantly trying to move us toward the desires of our hearts, even when we fall short. He's trying to make us great. This is grace. And part of living in his kingdom is learning to receive his grace and do the same for others. It's this cherishing of grace that causes people to want to change. You notice, being hard on people and rules and laws does not cause people to want to change. It's grace that changes hearts and causes people to want to change. When God finally showed me that I understood, one of my next questions was, when am I going to get everything back? Because I had paid a price to understand. It had cost me everything to understand, and I wanted to know when I was going to start seeing some results from all of this. After asking this question in my journal one night, the answer came the very next morning. Proverbs 19:8 says this, a man who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. A man who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. And cherishes understanding. Understanding what? Understanding grace in the kingdom of heaven. I had my answer and kept hearing soon and very soon on the inside. Once things click and we understand, we will very soon prosper. Think of Helen Keller. Once it clicked and she understood, she knew hundreds of words in a few days. Once it clicks and we understand, we will very soon prosper. And it wasn't long before God's grace began to flow in my life. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit here. But when we finally understand grace, a whole new world opens up. A whole new world of what? Living in God's kingdom. When we finally understand grace, it opens up this whole new world where we're living in God's kingdom. This whole new world, Jesus says, you can't see it. It's this invisible kingdom. But it opens up this whole new world that we never knew existed. And developing understanding brings us to the end of ourselves because we learn to rest. We're not working for this. We receive it by grace. We receive it by faith. But what seems like the end is actually just a new beginning. It brings us to a place where we truly experience life abundantly. The eighth day is a commitment to a new beginning. It's a dedicating ourselves to a new standard of life where grace is our interface. It's a commitment to having a responsive heart that receives God's grace and lets it flow through us to others. Grace is our interface. So think about on the phone screen here. The interface is what I'm interacting with. What I want on the phone screen, when I touch it, when I push a button to open up something on my phone, I want it to be responsive. When I push a button on here, I want it to be responsive. When God gives us a little nudge, when God gives us a little tap, he wants us to be responsive. Think about Jesus says the people didn't understand because their hearts were calloused. They were not responsive. And so when we understand this, grace changes our hearts. It opens up this whole new world, and it gets us hopefully to this place where our hearts are more and more responsive. And it all comes from what? Testifying to God's grace. To God's grace. But we're going to take communion over this. And I like to think of communion. Every time we take communion, we're activating these promises. We're activating these things that we're learning. And we're making them active and alive and relevant in our lives. We're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about this, this cracker. His body was broken. His blood was spilled to make all this possible. None of this was possible. None of this grace in the kingdom of heaven. We couldn't get in without him. None of this was possible without him. When his body was broken, that opened the way for this grace, for this kingdom of heaven to come into our lives. That God is working continually for our good. That's truly an amazing thing, that the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus. So now all this is available to us. It's a pretty amazing thing. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So when we take the cup today, from the moment we take the bread, we're letting go of the old. Now with the cup, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins that brings us into this kingdom. Think about in the Passover story, it was the blood that protected them, the blood that set them free and transferred them out of darkness, it says. Put them on God's path, put them on the journey with God going forward, that transferred them in. And so when we take the cup today, we're receiving this, that God is working for our good. He's transferred us into the kingdom. He cherishes us as the apple of his eye. And when we understand that, it's going to cause us to know what to do. It's going to cause some different actions. When you understand it, when you cherish understanding, you will soon prosper. We're going to receive this and we're going to activate this in our lives. That walking from this point on, I'm going to understand that God is working for my good. And everything that I do, he's working to make me great. And I might not always exactly understand in the moment what he's doing, how he's working to make me great, but I can trust and I can know and I can understand that whatever it is that he's up to, he's working it for my good. So we thank you for this cup, Father, and what it represents. In Jesus' name. All right, now it's simply about walking it out. If you truly receive this, I think it creates a turning point in your life. It'll be different going forward from this point on, but now it's about just walking it out. Trusting he's with you, he's working for your good. He's there with you, he's transferred you into his kingdom. He's working to make you great today. And one of the things we talk about in this book, The Eighth Day, is there's no eighth day of the week. The eighth day is the present moment. Every day, all the time, God is working to do this for you. And he wants us to be responsive, to live in this present moment with him, because that's where the grace flows. That's how we begin to tap into this grace, is by getting more present. Staying in the present moment is one of the biggest keys to allowing this grace to flow. And just like on our phones, we say, hey, there is an app for that. Hey, we say there's an app for that. There is grace for whatever you've got coming at you in life today. And it's more than enough that when those buttons get pushed in life, needs and issues and problems and, you know, things we want to accomplish, things God's prompting us to do in our life, there's grace for that. There's more than enough grace. God's got more than enough. He's more than enough to equip you and to empower you. And what he put in you is more than enough to handle whatever is coming at you in your day. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we've got a whole series of teachings and courses all stacked one on top of another that guide you through this whole process. The eighth date is part of that process as well. You can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.